Paul, you haven't had a lot of time to kind of go over this series yet, I'm sure. And from what you know from the regular season and what you've watched, I guess, in the playoffs, what challenges does the Vegas Golden Knights present to your team?
Well, the 109 points tells you how good they were. Specifically, outstanding transition and speed. Right, so how they move the puck from their end in straight lines, and they'll make plays off that rush. But it's going to be a very fast, speed-based series. And there'll be contact for sure in the zones, but that won't be the story. It's going to be the team that defends, I think, the best through the neutral zone and attacks simply through the neutral zone is going to have the best chance to win.
Still another series that's going to come down to goaltenders, or is this also going to be a shooter?
I think that is a general truth in every game of hockey ever played. At the end of the day, there is enough offense by both teams. Both teams score enough goals that the pressure is going to be on the guys in the nets, as usual.
You guys lost two straight at home, had won 13 straight beforehand. Does anything have to change now with home ice advantage, or is it just
the start time?
Hi, Kevin. Ed Graney from Las Vegas. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. I asked the players, there's a perception throughout the year, and specifically probably in Vegas, that this was somewhat Cinderella, that expansion teams don't do this. But you as a GM, when you looked at his roster that night in June, what did you think about the roster? And at any point, did you ever think this is Cinderella or these guys shouldn't be doing this?
Well, you could tell right away with the selections that they made that, you know, they had a plan in mind, and that plan was going to be centered around speed and the way the game is played today. You know, it had kind of balance throughout, you know, the different positions, and they did a fantastic job of obviously going through the expansion process. And, you know, certainly, again, very, very quickly you could tell that, you know, that team came together, gelled together, was very, very well coached. And that there is a genuine bond, you know, with those guys, and you know, they, you know, full marks. They've earned everything they've gotten, and you know, again, I think it's beyond the thought process of them being an expansion team. There's all those players there are good players. All the players there are in a better situation than they were, you know, in their prior teams as far as ice time, and a lot of them have blossomed and. It's been, you know, a real experience to watch them play.
Paul, the coaching fraternity is a tight one. Any stories to share of yourself and Gerard in terms of your paths crossing before? And take it there's a lot of mutual respect there for what he's been able to accomplish?
Very little in terms of past history. We didn't cross paths that often at all. But remembering the year prior in Florida, what a wonderful job he did with that team. And in terms of style of game, it looks very similar to the way Vegas plays now. So he's done a really good job of putting in a game plan. I think a lot very similar to ours in terms of idea. I don't think there's a whole lot of overcoaching, and that's a compliment, not anything else. That they play a simple game as quickly as they can, and they have the skill level to do it. So his team plays consistently with what I think he believes about the game of hockey and how it's played, and they've been certainly successful with it.
Kevin, you and Kelly McCrimmon have a long-standing friendship. I believe he's talked about that in the past. This would probably be a situation where you both be congratulating each other on the accomplishment so far. So what's this like on a personal level for your team and his team to be going head-to-head with a trip to the Cup on the line?
Yeah, we exchanged text messages. You know, I texted him after they clinched. He texted me yesterday, and then we both agreed to burn each other's numbers after that. So, you know, and it's, again, the job that that George and Kelly have done in building that team is exemplary. You know, they're good hockey people, and again, I'm excited for what he's accomplished, and you know, for us, it's you know, the focus is on the here and the now, and I'm real proud of our group, and you know, the guys on the ice, the guys in the dressing room, you know, the coaching staff. It's one of those things that, you know, we're just going to focus on that.
Just had one more. Just wanted to ask you about one of the guys on the ice. You made the trade deadline acquisition of Paul Stastny, and that's looking better and better by the day here. Obviously, his performances in previous Game 7s and then his performance last night. Safe to say that the player you acquired is everything you expected and maybe even more?
And some of his best performances are things that none of us get to see, and it really happens inside the dressing room and on the plane and sitting beside the players and just the experience that he has. And we knew we were getting a quality player. Obviously you can see that on the ice. Quality person. We knew that from our due diligence in the past, but what he can bring inside the room until you have a player, someone like that, and that can provide those experiences, you don't really appreciate how much you have.
Paul, when you're part of a team on a playoff journey like this one, what's the best way for a player to walk the line between savoring and celebrating a series win like the one you just had and getting ready for tomorrow?
Do it by the day. Handle your day, which is a theme for us when we talk about it daily. So enjoy that win last night. The parts of it that are important to carry forward are our preparation, our mood, our attitude, some of the courage that we played with, and then understand that today now is a completely different day. So the work that we did today would take priority over what was accomplished last night. We leave that there, and we use the exact same routine after a double overtime loss. We left it on that day and moved on to the next one.
Question for both of you. This city has been waiting a long period of time to get an NHL team back. Now the Jets are playing the Western Final. What's the symbolic for the city of Winnipeg?
I think that's yours.
What's the
symbolic?
Well, again, I think our city is experienced a lot in a short period of time, and 7 years seems like a long period of time for a lot of people. But in the hockey world, getting the team back here was very, very exciting, for the city. And I think the thing that gets kind of glossed over is that this has been a great hockey city for many, many years, and the work that the Moose did. The games, were exceptional, and it just kept on proving. This arena was built on the backs of that, for one day, hoping that the NHL did come back. And it's exciting for the fans. It's exciting for the players to be able to give back to the fans in those type of situations. But as exciting as it is, I think it's really the driving force within the group is that there's so much more to give, and there's so much more that the players want to give, for themselves and the fans. Sure, go ahead over there.
Kevin, the story out there is that the Vegas organization, they blocked you from acquiring Brassard at the trade deadline, and of course you got a player that you wanted in Stastny, and he's been a huge success. But is there any substance to that story?
I can't, I don't really have any comments on that. I don't know much about, the stories that go around. I know what happens, within, our group. And the trade deadline is a fast and furious type of period of time. And we talked about our group that we were only going to make a trade if we felt that the trade was going to upgrade us or help us, and it had to have the right fit. And Paul Stastny was the right fit. And if we weren't able to acquire him, then we might not have made any moves at the forward position. Certainly, we probably still would have added Joe Morrow because of the depth that was added there. But we're ecstatic with our situation and our position right now. As far as anything else, I'm not sure.
And Paul, like you mentioned, Vegas is an outstanding transition team. Are there any striking differences between Vegas and Nashville?
Well, I would say that all three of their defensive systems are different. So from a systems point of view, they're different. They're both capable. Vegas has three defensemen that are going to get up the ice very, very quickly, really skate well and be part of the drive going forward, so that's similar. and they don't mind making a play. They have no problem running a cross-ice pass in the offensive zone. What's interesting is the frequency and the quality of those passes. They don't turn an awful lot of pucks over, making what you might consider some risky plays. So I'm not sure that they're risky because they're on the tape. Systematically, there's quite a bit of a difference.
Kevin, Larry Leach from Associated Press. Much has been made, rightfully so, about how Vegas was built. How would you kind of bring people up to speed about how the Jets got here? Obviously, draft picks and talked about a trade, but looking back, what do you think are some key moves or players that kind of made this possible?
Well, for us, we're not sitting in this position, here today if we don't have the leadership group that we, that we've had and developed over the course of time. And obviously we've drafted, we've developed, we've traded for some, we've signed some free agents. But the people that, when we talk about development, everyone automatically thinks about young players, cutting their teeth in the National Hockey League. But, a player like Blake Wheeler has been with us since we, moved the franchise here. And his development might have been the biggest out of anyone. He was always, a great player by, obviously, with his draft pick status as a young player. But, his growth and development over time and the leadership qualities that he has, that Mark Scheifele has, that Buff has within the room, those are the type of things that, again, you need to have to get to this point in time. And if you want to continue forward, those are the things that are going to be accentuated. Granted, we've got some great young players here and they've come a long way, but for them to be able to, have a guy like Blake put their arm around him, when something doesn't go right, or maybe give them a little nudge when, they need it, or, those are the type of things that, really, really help an organization get to the point that we're at.
This one's for both of you. Given the success that the Knights have pulled off here in the last less than 2 years, does this put more pressure, does it add expectations for all the people, for all the head coaches, the other head coaches and general managers in the league?
Like in this series or just in general?
In general.
Yeah, well, it's Chevy's call, but the next expansion team's got a tough act to follow, doesn't it? Yeah, you want a really long-term deal going in on that one.
Again, they've done a remarkable job, but they're one of 31 now. Like they earned the right to get here. They've played exceptional hockey to get to this point here. You find out very quickly in this league, you have to earn everything. Every space, every inch on the ice, every aspect of things you have to earn. So. For what they've accomplished, our hats go off to them in a short period of time. But they're just like us now. They're just like every other team in this National Hockey League, trying to win the Stanley Cup.
The Nashville series, Paul, was very physical. How much of that aspect do you expect in this next series with Vegas?
I think some. I think early, usually, you'll see all the checks get finished, and that idea. There's a different kind of speed and a different kind of transition in the series, and it doesn't lend itself to the play as often along the walls. So I think priority one is handling speed, not necessarily the physicality. The end zones are going to be different as well. Nashville's D are down the walls on every single play. Vegas does a real good job deciding when to go and when not to go, and relies on a lot of hard work by their forwards to push back and to track back up the ice. So I think that style of game is less along the walls.
Paul, you talk about carpe diem, seize the moment, seize the day. It's been a decade since you've had a team in the conference finals. Can you give us some perspective on how difficult it is to get to this point?
Well, we talked about that today and talked about it. A guy like Paul Stastny is a really interesting guy to talk to because he's played on good teams. He played on very powerful teams, and Jamie Compan as well was a part of that, even in St. Louis, where every year when you all did your predictions, and the coaches as well, who are the contenders in September, they're in on that, and how difficult it is just to get, now making the playoffs surely, but just to get out of the first round. To get out of the second, then there's only three other teams left. It's very, very difficult to think of all the very strong teams, Nashville, that don't get that opportunity. So seizing the moment, everybody's going to be focused, right? Everybody's going to be wired. Figuring out a way to enjoy it, and I'm not talking casually enjoy it, but bringing that enjoyment into the intensity of your game is what I thought we did very well in Game 7.
You guys, perhaps for both, he has not said it publicly, nor would he, I'm assuming, but it seems in that room, Fleury, more than anyone, has relished the chip on the shoulder in terms of his performance and where he came from, obviously, and all that he did. Has it been your experience to see many players like this who had won a cup and unseated and now playing the way he is, or is this not normal for someone to, at his age, to come and do what he's done now, given what he did?
Well, you know, again, The circumstances surrounding it are very different. Like, the expansion draft doesn't just come around, you know, each and every year. And so good players, you know, great players, like Marc-Andre Fleury, given different circumstances, I don't think you're seeing those same things. Like, he's not a player that, you guys were reporting on a daily basis that he's going to get traded, other than, you know, because of expansion purposes last year. So he's got the rings, he's got the hardware to prove it, and he's a world-class goaltender. So it'll be a challenge.